Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
Good evening. So what was the song that we began singing at the beginning of Mass? The Table of Plenty. I shouldn't have told y'all that. I should have left that a quiz, okay? But I want to start my remarks tonight with a question about kind of the philosophy of your life. And I'm going to ask you a question, and you're going to say, well, hold on, Father Mike, I have to ask you a question. But no, it's only me asking the questions here. You don't get to ask any questions. So the question is, and don't answer out loud, the question is, do you have enough? And of course you think, enough what, Father Mike? You don't get to ask any questions. I get to ask the questions. So the question is, do you have enough? Have you always had enough? The attitude of enough. That there's enough happiness in the world to go around. We can all be happy. But there's enough love. You're not going to run out of love. That there's enough opportunity in the world, enough forgiveness, enough recognition, enough pats on the back, that you don't have to put somebody else down in order to get the recognition, because there's enough recognition. Enough time. Enough time. Enough room. Just enough. So what's your philosophy? Is there enough in life? Is there enough? If you don't think there's enough, you might have the wrong God. Or just a misunderstanding of our God. Because our God provides a superabundance of what is really necessary. Of the most essential realities of life, God provides a superabundance of them. That is the point of the gospel today. They're at a wedding, and Jesus is there at the wedding, and the mother of Jesus is there, and it's his first miracle that he's going to do. And I put on the front of the bulletin this week a little commentary on that first conversation that we heard in the gospel there. Mary says to Jesus, we're out of wine, essentially, paraphrasing. We're out of wine. Jesus says, what does it have to do with me? My time has not yet come. And now Mary knows he's going to act. And Mary gives us all the best advice that anybody could ever be given, ever. And what was the advice that Mary gave to all of us? Do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. So that is good advice. You know, I've heard some other good advice during the week. I read a little bit from Padre Pio. And you know, when I'm standing up here talking to y'all about enough and an attitude of enough and all of these other things, I'm talking to myself too. You know, I am preaching to the reality that I have to see that God provides truly. So I read Padre Pio's words, pray, hope, and don't worry. Pray more and worry less. That's the philosophy of my life I'm trying to embrace. And so they're at a wedding. And you know, doesn't everybody at a wedding want everything to be just so? I mean, just so, everything so. But you know, they're going to run out of wine, and that's not just so. Maybe this is a major social faux pas. I don't know. We have to go back to the times of Cana in Galilee. But nonetheless, you know, even at a wedding, not everything always is just so, is it? In fact, I would say with all of the details that are going to be involved in one way or another, certainly something's not going to be just so. So you just got to roll with it, right? And that's life. So there's enough, right? Is that our attitude? We're going to make it through this? Because there's a superabundance of that which is most important. So at a wedding banquet, to save a young couple from embarrassment, our Lord hears his mother's request. And you know, he makes some wine. Does he make a little wine? No, he makes a lot of wine. He makes a tremendous quantity of wine. So much wine that some people think that this gospel is an excuse to overindulge. And I'm here to tell you that it is not an excuse to overindulge. That is not the point of this gospel at all. In any way, shape, or form. You know, I was thinking about how I was going to approach this 150 gallons of wine that our Lord made at this wedding. And you know, it is a gift, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing to have this fine quality wine provided to the guests that they can enjoy this wine. And we approach the reality that wine is a gift, but we also approach the reality that alcohol, like so many other things that can be good, can be turned bad, right? And I was reading this, kind of preparing myself for my comments tonight, and I came across a famous speech made about 50 or 60 years ago by a man campaigning for a spot in the Mississippi legislature, okay? And he was campaigning 50 or 60 years ago, and guess what the big question of the day when he was in this campaign that I'm thinking of, what was the question of the day was prohibition. Are we going to make alcohol sales legal in Mississippi? Maybe it was more than 50 years ago. Whatever it was a ripe question. So he's out on the stump campaigning. And he makes a speech in response to a question that he's asked. The guy's name was Noah Sweat. And you know what his nickname was? Soggy. I guess if your name is Sweat. So Noah Sweat is out on the stump, and someone asked from the crowd, "What's your position on whiskey?" And this is his answer, okay, integrating into my homily on 150 gallons of wine. "My dear friends, I had not intended to discuss this controversial subject at this particular time. However, I want you to know that I do not shun controversy. On the contrary, I will take my stand on any issue at any time, regardless of how fraught it is with controversy. You have asked me how I feel about whiskey. All right, this is how I feel about whiskey. If, when you say whiskey, you mean the devil's brew, the poison scourge, the bloody monster that defiles innocence and dethrones reasons and destroys homes and creates misery and poverty, yea, literally takes the bread out of the mouth of children, if you mean the evil drink which topples Christian men and women from the pinnacle of righteousness and grace to living in a bottomless pit of degradation and despair, shame and helplessness and hopelessness, then I am certainly against it. But if when you say whiskey, you mean the oil of conversation, the philosophical wine, the ale that is consumed when good fellows get together, that puts a song in their heart and laughter on their lips and a warm glow of contentment in their eye, if you mean Christmas cheer and a stimulating drink that puts a spring in the step of an old man on a frosty, crispy day, if you mean a drink which enables a man to magnify his joy and happiness and forget, if only for a little while, life's great tragedies and heartaches and sorrows, if you mean that drink, the sale of which will pour money into our treasury, untold millions of dollars, and provide tender care for our children, our blind, our deaf, and our dumb, and the pitiful aged and infirm, and build highways and hospitals, then I am certainly for it." And we know that it's both, don't we? We know that it can be a gift and it can be a murderous villain. We know that reality is true. So when our Lord makes 150 gallons of wine, it's not that it has to all be drunk. Certainly, we recognize that they're going to drink the wine, and those that can will, and those that shouldn't. And they're going to enjoy themselves, but there's going to be some left over. That's the whole point. The whole point is there's going to be some left over. And was there any other miracles that Jesus did where there was some left over? In fact, a lot left over. And it isn't a coincidence that it was bread and wine that are the two that were left over. And that our Lord does this at a wedding. And Mary is there. And you know, there's only two events. You got to help me put all these things together, because I promise you this is true, okay? The way the scriptures and the layers of truth that are present in the sacred word of God. So Mary is present at only two places in the Gospel of John. And we are to believe they are both weddings. And the first place is at Cana. And the second place is standing under the foot of the cross. And the events of the Last Supper and the events of Calvary, where our Lord is crucified, that's all one long, if you will, wedding banquet. And it is Jesus giving his life to his bride, the church. And guess what we're here to celebrate tonight? The wedding feast of the Lamb. And some of that very bread, some of those 12 baskets full, and some of that 150 gallons of wine, that's here for us tonight. There's enough. There was enough. And so here we are to celebrate with this truth that our Lord gives us the bread and the wine that becomes his body and blood, that showers the world with his superabundance of his mercy and his love and his grace. So I ask you, is there enough? There is. There is, my brothers and sisters in Christ, let us embrace this truth that there is enough. The water and the wine at this wedding are symbols. The water stands for the law, the ordinary, that which will pass away. The wine stands for grace, something that is special, that will become the blood of Christ. The wine, as I have said, and I will say over and over, not in abundance to be overconsumed, but an abundance to be used later at the Last Supper. So my brothers and sisters, there is enough. We need to have an attitude of enough happiness, enough opportunity, enough forgiveness, enough recognition, enough of God's mercy. I pray tonight that we all gather today at this table of plenty and receive plenty from the hand of our Lord.